But we've been talking last week about this Proverbs chapter 30. So if y'all want to go ahead and turn to Proverbs chapter 30. If you weren't here last week, just a quick review. The first 29 chapters of Proverbs we know who wrote that. Solomon wrote that. But in the very last two chapters, chapters 30 and 31, it's like Solomon went, hey, is there anybody else out there with some wisdom that God's given you that wants to put something in this book of wisdom that I have? And in 31, we have King Lemuel, who did this wonderful thing on a godly woman. But in 30, we have this guy named Agur, or Augur. It's kind of like author with a G in it, Augur. And we looked last week that Augur's big thing is learning to live in contentment. We kind of said it's those moments in life where you just go, ah. And wouldn't it be nice to always kind of live in a situation where you're going, ah. We talked about how it's kind of like old nursery story about this is too hard, this is too soft, but this is just right. And how do we get to that just right moment in life? And last week we kind of said, well, some foundational things we saw from the first verses of chapter 30 was that Augur had a heart of thankfulness. He had this awe and wonder about who God is. He even in the Old Testament, he asked about God's Son. So there was something stirring in him about hope in Christ, the power of God's Word, and faith in God. It was the last thing we looked at that last week. We said, if you start with that foundation, those basic building blocks, then you can build a life of contentment. So today what I want to do is I want to go straight to what's called the Prayer of Augur. That is going to be in verses number 7 and 8 and 9. 7, 8, and 9 of Proverbs 30. And within this little prayer, we're going to see what Augur said is what we should be asking for from God. So let's just go ahead and jump right in there. In Proverbs chapter 30, in verse number 7, it says this: two things I ask of you, Lord. Do not refuse me before I die. Keep falsehood and lies far from me. Give me neither poverty nor riches, but give me only my daily bread. Otherwise, I may have too much and disown you and say, who is the Lord? Or I might become poor and steal and so dishonor the name of my God. And that was his prayer. That was his prayer of contentment. So I'm going to dig into that. Now here's the positive things you're going to see right now is there's only two points to this prayer. I put a third point in at the end to kind of conclude it all, but this is going to be kind of a tight sermon. You're not going to have a lot to remember today, but what I'm going to give you are two base columns that he puts on that foundation to say, I'm going to have a content life. He said, God, I'm just going to ask you for two things. And then he says this, do not refuse me before I die. That tells you what he thinks about these two things, right? He said, if I only had one prayer left, and if I just had to say, what do I need to pray before I die? Yeah, I want to make sure I get these two things from you, God. There's lots of things I want, but if I just have to boil it down to two things in my life that I can get in there, these are the two things before I die that I want to pray. So let's look at the two things. If you want to live a content life, if you want to have a life where you're just going, man, this feels just right. If you want to go around as a Christian kind of every morning waking up and going, what do you need? Well, verse number 8 is our first point. It says, keep falsehoods and lies far from me. Keep falsehoods and lies far from me. Now that would be an easy place just to jump over, right? Because that sounds like that could be just kind of a little thing that he threw in. You know, like, God, here's what I'm praying. First, just don't let anybody lie to me, and I don't want to say any lies. God, keep lies away. Now let's get to the main point. But I want to stop for a second, because I think it's very powerful what he says right here. He said, here's one of the things. God, if I could just ask for two things before I die, here's one thing that I want to ask, and this is going to lead me to have a content life, and that is that you would keep lies and falsehoods away from me. How does keeping lies and falsehoods away from you, how does that lead to a content life? Well, I've got a real good example. Let me kind of throw it out to you. The example is this. If everything was perfect in your life, if everything was perfect, and you had an abundance of everything, there was no stress whatsoever. I mean, whatever you're stressed about right now, money, food, whatever it is, it's not only taken care of, but you have an abundance of that. I mean, the weather is good. The world is good. Can you imagine this? No stress in the entire world. Do you think that you could sit in the middle of that and go, ah, do you think you could? That sounds like a pretty nice place for contentment. But here's the interesting thing. There was a time when it was like that. Genesis chapter 1. There was an abundance of everything that every person alive at that time needed. You know, me and Robert were talking this morning just how incredible that thought of God just walking through the garden. Can you imagine that? God said, here, I'm going to put you in the perfect place. Everything you need provided for you. In fact, I'm going to hang out with you. But how did that go? Did they just say, ah, I'm content here, and I'm just going to live here forever? No. What destroyed the perfect environment for contentment? What destroyed it? A lie. Isn't that interesting? The thing that destroyed Eden was the lie of Satan. Satan came along. Here's Eve. He said, Eve, don't you want to eat from that particular tree? And she said, no, God said, don't eat from that one. He said, we can have as much, just in abundance of everything else. But he said, there's something more. There's something more that you need. God didn't give you everything that you needed, and that more is hanging on that tree. From that one lie, that one lie of Satan, it destroyed contentment that God had set up for man and woman. Now I'm going to ask you, if that was how powerful the lies of Satan are in a perfect situation, how powerful are the lies of Satan in our imperfect situations? How powerful is it what Satan lies to us about? You need more money. You need a better job. You need more people to respect you. You need your this or you need that, and you need to do. Listen, you need more is the lie that Satan throws out there. I go back to this prayer. The first thing he said, you want to live a content life? God, would you put a force field around me that's going to protect me from the lies of Satan? I don't know if me and Matthew have been watching a Star Wars show, and these big old armor came out to shoot at people, and also a force field went around them, and it protected them from all the things that were shooting at them. And I just said, man, that's what I need in my life. I need a force field. I need something that goes around me, God, that when a lie of Satan starts coming at me, then it'll just hit off that force field and shoot away. If I could just get all the lies of Satan out of my life, you deserve better than this. You deserve better than that person you're with. You deserve better than how these people are treating you. You know, all you know, these lies that Satan keeps on coming at us with, if I could just put up a force field to keep it out, well, then suddenly I can be back in that situation of going, I can be content. But as Satan and the world keeps coming at us and saying, more, get more, get more, get more, get more. Even if it wasn't Satan, just the world. Just the world. Do you realize that Walmart and other big stores like that, they know exactly where to place things to make you want them? Isn't that interesting? Have you ever wondered why there's candy bars where you check out? They know me, right? I go into Walmart to pick up some Drano, and I'm standing there beside a Reese's peanut butter cup, and I'm checking out, and I didn't even know I wanted a Reese's peanut butter cup until I saw it there, right? You know, they know that if they do certain things, they can suddenly stir up this desire and want. I didn't really need a Reese's peanut butter cup. But because of what Walmart did to me or any of the other places, I suddenly say, yeah. You see, it's those lies. It's those gentle lies that come into our ear. You need that. You need more than what you have. Wouldn't that be good right now? Boy, if we could put that up. How do you do that? How do you get to the point where you can basically put this force field around you? I just wrote down three little, I guess, takeaways, three little things that you maybe could put into your life to help you guard against the lies of Satan in the world. Here's one thing. One thing is you can try to be a better gatekeeper. You can try to be a better gatekeeper. You are responsible for what comes into your eyes. You are responsible for what comes into your ears. I am responsible for what goes in my mouth, right? We're responsible. This is our gate. How are you doing at being a gatekeeper? What are you allowing in? Let's talk about negatives for a minute. What do you allow in your ears and your eyes? What do you allow to come into your mind? Listen, you've got to live in the world. There's lots of things that you can't control, what you see and what you hear and what kind of thoughts come in. There's lots of things you can't, just from walking around, just from being out in the world. But there's lots of things you can, right? There's lots of things you can. Do you gatekeep your television? You know, we struggle with that a lot. Just, you know, what am I allowing my TV to say to me? I've told the girls before, I said, we should work really hard with this thought in mind. The TV can't say anything that we can't say. You know, anything that I can't say, I shouldn't be allowing my TV to say. You know, and there's a lot of things that I wouldn't talk to my kids about, or I wouldn't talk to other people about that. I let that TV talk drone on and on and on and on. I'm not being a good gatekeeper. I'm letting it just tell me, it's throwing it in. And listen, as you watch it more and listen to it, movies, you've got a choice on what movies you see. I remember when I was in college, guys. When I was in college, I don't remember the name of the movie right now. It'll come to me in a little while. But there was this movie about a fire company, you know, a firefighters. There's a firefighter movie. And this was late 80s. That shows you how old I am. But I remember that I went to see this movie about firefighters. It was a good movie about firefighters. But there was this one scene in it of this man and this woman doing what men and women do on top of the fire truck. Okay, it was on top of the fire truck. You know? And so I told somebody one day, I said, boy, I went to see that movie. What a good movie. And they looked at me and they go, well, what do you think about that scene on the fire truck? And I remember this. I just remember going, what scene on the fire truck? And then it hit me. I had watched that, and I had become so numb to the fact that movies are okay showing that it didn't even affect me enough that I remembered it. I had become so, my gate was so completely open to saying that this sexual fantasy world that the movies portray is okay, that when people ask me, hey, what'd you think about that scene? I went, well, I don't even remember that scene, which scares me. You know, it scared me at that point. You know, I said, well, because I was going through life and kind of going, I thought I was doing pretty good, but I said, somehow or another, I have desensitized myself to words that they say and images that they give. And so I went a year, and I said, I'm just not going to watch any R-rated movies for a year. I said, I'm just going to see what that like. And, you know, after I did, the first R-rated movie I saw, boy, every word, I said, whoa, I can't believe they just said that. Whoa, I can't believe they just showed that. It's because I had started guarding my gate again. How's your gate? Is your gate wide open? Let's talk about the good things. Are you putting good things in through your gate? Are you making sure that you're getting Scripture in there? Are you putting Christian music into your life, that when you just accidentally start humming a song, you're not humming a song that's saying things that you don't want to say or putting out facts. You're humming songs about worshiping God and being with God forever. He's my first love and He's my last love. And I love you. You can just change one word and then suddenly you could say, now I've got a song that I'm singing because I've opened my gate to good things. I've started closing my gate to bad things. God, protect me from the lies of the world. Protect me from the lies of the world. How's your gatekeeping going? Are you coming to church? Oh, I'm preaching to the choir here on that. But are you in a small group? Are you studying your Bible? Are you putting truth in your life and letting that come in through the gate, rather letting the lies of the world and Satan come into the gate? Come back to that prayer. God, keep falsehood far away from me. Because the more I see what other people have and the more I see what other people want me to want, the more I say, oh, I do want that. And I'm not content. So number one, be a better gatekeeper. And number two thing that you could do to help lies or realize what lies are in your life is practice a 10-minute pause. A 10-minute pause. I read this one time in a book. It was on eating. And he said what he decided to do is when he saw something that he wanted to eat, that Reese's peanut butter cup, he had a rule. He said, if I can wait 10 minutes and still want that Reese's peanut butter cup, I'll buy it. I'm not going to tell myself I can't have it, but if I can just wait 10 minutes, I'm not going to immediately go, oh, I want that. I'm going to put some time in there. And I thought, man, isn't that great? Because these lies come at us. You need this. You want that. You ever stay up on late night TV and see something? Order now. You know, they want you to do it now, before you can think about it. You know, if we would just practice pausing. You know, when a lie comes into your head, maybe a way that you feel about yourself, before you start going on a rampage of, man, I'm the worst person ever, just pause and say, is that truth? Let me just take a pause before I react to that. Let me take a pause before I buy into what you're selling. Let me give a little bit of space for the Holy Spirit to work in my life instead. Do you ever just pause instead of just taking in and go, that must be truth. They said it about me, that must be truth. That says I want that must be true. Take a little breath and go, is this truth? Where is this a lie? So I'm guarding my gate. I'm pausing. The last thing I said would be really good there for this force field of truth around me is to get a better bucket list. I brought a bucket up here. I like that word bucket list. It is a fairly new word in our English vocabulary. In fact, it came from some guys that made a movie. They were just trying to come up with the name of it. If y'all remember the movie, I think it had Morgan Freeman and... who else was in that movie? Who was it? It was Jack Nicholson. And they said they came up with this brand new word called a bucket list. And basically it is they were dying and they said, before we kick the bucket, here's a list of things we want to do in our life. And I love that sound because, you know, now we kind of use it all over the place. What's your bucket list? You know, we were playing in that Ark Encounter, and when me and Kathy started talking about that. In fact, if y'all want to sign up for our trip this summer to see the Ark, it's out there. It's going to be about $500, a shameless plug. Okay, and then back to what we were saying, when we were talking about that, both of us said, boy, seeing that Ark, seeing this life-size rendition, that's part of our bucket list. And when I said that, when she said that, you know, we both kind of said, oh, we're speaking the same language here. What's your bucket list for a good life? Not on what you want to do, accomplish before you die, but if I just ask you, that if you had a bucket and inside that bucket was a list of things that were good in life. Good in life. I was looking through Proverbs, and there's a lot of places in Proverbs where it says, this is better than money. One place says something is better than silver. Something is better than, you know, just it says what's better. And I said, well, these are things that should go in my bucket of things that are important in my life. It says wisdom. Proverbs says wisdom is better than money. You know, I could have all the money in the world, but if I had no wisdom, it would be useless. A right relationship with God, the fear of the Lord. A right relationship with God, so much better than money. Doing good, righteous deeds, righteousness. Proverbs says that's better than money. A good name. A good name is better than money. Honesty is better than money. Integrity is better than money. Love is better than money. And let me, I might even get an amen on this one. Peace in your home is better than money. Amen. Yeah, amen. All these things are what the book of Proverbs, these wise sayings, say are better than money. I need that in a bucket. And when suddenly something comes to me and says, hey, if you'll do this, then people will like you. If you'll do this, then you'll be more respected in the community. If you do this, you can get more money in the bank. If you do this, you know, I can come and I can look in there and I can go, no, here's what truth is. Here's what truth is. What's better than that are these things. In my, you know, maybe you add things of your other things to the bucket. Your kids are better than money. Your health is better than money. You know, all these different things. And it doesn't even have to be money. Whatever it is, I tell you what, if you would just get a bucket list of what is truth, what is good, what does God say, this is what you should desire in life. And then as the lies of Satan maybe get through to you, you can just grab it for a second and go, is that truth? And put it in your bucket and see if it either stays in there or if it just dissolves in what's true about our lives. Do you have a bucket list of good things to compare the lies to? Because those lies sound good. You know, those lies sound good. Buy that new car. Buy that bigger house. You know, do this, do that. But here's the truth. Are you content with these things? If you had all those, would you be content? And the answer is yes. So that was point number one. Point number one is, God, keep lies away from me. I need my notes. Point number two, if you come back over here to Proverbs, he said, two things I ask of you, Lord. Do not refuse me before I die. Keep falsehood and lies far from me. And then watch this. Give me neither poverty nor riches, but give me only my daily bread. Have you ever heard anybody pray that before? So don't, God, I don't want to be rich. God, keep riches away from me. And it's kind of a strange feeling to say it. We often pray, God, I don't want to be poor. But to pray, I don't want to be rich. But that third part, we've heard that before, right? Give me this day my daily bread. Who said that? Yeah, the Lord's Prayer. Isn't that interesting? We'll pray that in the Lord's Prayer, and it doesn't sound strange. God, give me today my daily bread. Because here's what we add as an asterisk, some on that. A lot of times we'll say, God, give me my daily bread plus a lot more, right? I need the foundation of my daily bread, but then I need a lot more stuff after that. And here's where Auger, he just said, no. He said, just pray this way. Say, God, just give me my basic needs. God, just give me what I need today. And I don't want to be rich, and I don't want to be poor, but help me to be needy. Listen, this isn't a number thing. You know, if you're thinking, what number is rich? What number is poor? There's not a number, is there? It's all in comparison. You know, to a guy with $1 billion, probably where you live, that would be poverty, right? That would probably be poverty. You'd probably go into your house and go, how do you live in this little bitty place? But to a place in one of these third world countries where they just have cardboard for walls, you would be the most wealthy person they'd ever meet in their life. So wealth and poverty, it's not a number. It goes back to that thought of, do I trust God to supply the fullness of what I need? And he says, God, don't let me ask for more than what you know I need. And don't let me fall into less than what you know I need. He said, just give me today that ability to trust that whatever you've given me is exactly what I need. Keep those lies away, because those lies are going to say, no, it's not. What you got isn't enough. You need more. You need more. You need... Nope, got those lies taken care of. Now, God, just help me to see. Now, how do you know? How do you know if you're having trouble with that? Well, he explains it. He says, give me neither poverty nor riches, but give me my daily bread. Verse number 9, otherwise I may have too much and disown you and say, who is the Lord? Or I may become poor and steal and so dishonor the name of God. Here's two red flags for you. How are you doing on this trusting God with what he's given you? You know, if you're at the point, an inside thing is kind of that first one. If I have too much, I may disown you. I might get too prideful. I might disown you and go, God, I just really don't need you. I mean, look at all the money I got in savings. Look how I've taken care of everything. Look at this nice house that I work for. Look, I got to buy that vacation house down, on the beach. You know, I've got this nice car. In all honesty, as you're saying that, the red flag might be going off of, you know what, God, I don't really need you anymore. I got everything I need here. I've got it all. And if you can hear just the start of that in your heart, of going, am I living in a place where I'm not just trusting God, but I'm thinking, trusting me, trusting what I've got. There's your red flag. He said, you know, what'll happen eventually is you'll just disown God. You won't literally go, God, I don't trust you. But in your heart, you'll go, I don't have to take a step of faith anymore. I just trust me. God said it. Or said, if I get to that point, God, let me know. He said, the other is an outward thing. He said, or I might become poor and steal and so dishonor the name of God. I might start, you know, treating others like they don't have any worth at all. If you get to that place in your life of going, I've just got to get more, I've got to get more, I've got to get more. And the way that you obtain that is by stepping on other people, is by going, you know, I don't care about you. I got to get mine. What does that say? That says I'm not trusting God. That says that I'm in a place where I've got to get more, get more, get more. So he said, help me to see those red flags in my life so I can stay in this middle corridor where every morning I get up and I go, look at that. God gave me what I needed today. Look at that. Look, this is beautiful. God gave me breath today. God let me sleep last night. God gave me people who love me. And I'm not going to listen to lies. I'm going to watch out if I get too prideful, if I get too selfish. And I'm going to stay in that content zone. Listen, the last thing I want to say is if we can get to that point where we're living in the contentment of what God's done for us, the goodness of God, then there's this little bit of thought. Maybe it came up in your mind. It came up in my mind when I started reading through this. I was going, but God, if I'm content all the time, then I'll never want to do anything. I'll never want to push the boundaries, right? God, if I'm just content all the time, aren't we all just going to be lazy and sitting around and going, oh, you know, I'm happy with what I got? You know, is that the way it works? And here's what I'm going to tell you. Contentment. If you can really get to that point where you're going, God, I trust in your goodness, I'm not listening to those lies anymore. Contentment leads to empowerment. Contentment will lead to empowerment. Let me give you just a visual of it, and then we'll go to the scriptures. I've got four daughters, and all four of them wanted to learn how to ride bicycles at different times, right? But this is something I never did. I never went, hey, your bicycle that we bought for you is out in the driveway. Y'all just go learn to ride your bike, right? Because they wouldn't do that. They wouldn't just go out and learn their bike, ride their bike. What they wanted, what did they want? They wanted me, right? They trusted me. They felt safe if I was there running beside them as they were learning to ride their bike. Now, did I continue as they got to be 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 18, running beside them? No. But to get to that point of empowerment, they had to be content with the goodness of their father. They had to be in that spot where they were content with the goodness of their father. And then when their father said, it's time for you to ride your bike, within that beautiful shell of contentment with me, of trusting me, I led them to the point of where they could take the next step. And then at some point they wanted to learn to drive the car. Just went through daughter number 4 on driving the car. Right? Because it didn't just stop there. It was still, but they were still content and peaceful with, well, Dad, I don't know if I can get on Big 290. Oh, you can get on Big 290. You can do this. You can trust me. This is the way it is with God. As we live within this beautiful thought of, God, you're good to me every day. You're good, you're good. Then at some point, God's going to say, well, I got something I need you to do. And you say, well, as long as you say that, as long as I can trust you, I can step away from that job. I can walk through a problem with health in my life. I can walk through a financial issue in my life. I can walk through a relational issue in my life. God, because I trust you, because I'm living constantly in contentment. Let me show you how that plays out in the New Testament. Philippians chapter 4. That great dialogue of Paul where he says this. He said in 4 verse 12, I know what it is to be in need. I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content. He said, man, if I don't have anything, I'm content with the goodness of God. If I've got everything, I'm content with the goodness of God. At every moment, I'm just going, oh, thank you. He said, I've learned the secret in every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. Now watch this. He says, I'm content, God. I'm content, God. I'm content, God. And then all of a sudden we hit verse 13. I can do all things through him who gives me strength. Isn't that beautiful? He said, God, you're running beside me when I'm poor. You're running beside me when I'm full. Oh, here's something else. I can do that, God. Because I've learned to be content that you are a good God. And you've got me. And I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. How are you doing with contentment right now? Is that something you need to work on this week? Do you need to start narrowing, putting that force field up? Watching what you're letting in, going out? Should you learn how to just take a pause before you make decisions? Do you need to think about your bucket? What's really the truth? How are you doing with your red flags? Do you see a place where your pride is rising up or where selfishness is rising up? You need to work on those areas. Listen, if you do and you learn how to walk into this life of contentment, it's going to be amazing what God can do with you. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, God, I just want to just thank you right now for just a simple 3-verse prayer. God, thank you for those truths that you've put into our lives. And God, I'm going to ask that you don't let us be hearers only. God, just this week, God, just help us to ask ourselves every morning, am I content with whatever comes today? And God, within that, help us to just go, oh, Father, you're so good. I trust in the goodness of God. God, we love you today. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, guys, I'm going to be down front. Kyle's going to be singing. Y'all sing along with him. It's a beautiful song he's ending with. If there's anything I can pray for you for, I'm going to be down here. As always, if God is tugging on your heart right now to make some kind of decision, joining our church, becoming part of this loving fellowship, I'll be down here for that. Or if God's just saying, hey, we need to tighten our relationship, I'd love to pray with you and show you how you either can ask Jesus in your heart for the first time, or to strengthen that in your daily walk. I'll be down front. The altar's open if you want to pray.